Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records number 1240, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison, on Island Radio, KISL Avalon at 88.7 on your FM dial and anywhere on the planet at KISLAvalon.com on your internet dial. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this week's show, we'll go overseas, have a vocabulary lesson, we'll hit the links, and celebrate Nat Osborne's birthday. On last week's show, you heard Captain Plunkett's Overseas Orchestra with his composition, Winter Will Come, as heard in Captain M.W. Plunkett's Dumbbell Review, Cheerio. And I said we'd be having a Dumbbell Hits segment very soon. Well, you can't get any sooner than the next week, and here it is. As an antidote to the horrors of World War I, the Canadian Expeditionary Force used professional entertainers to entertain troops and alleviate the nightmare of war through song and humor. They also encouraged concert parties formed from within the ranks. There were as many as 40 of these musical troops. Two of the most famous were Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry Comedy Company and Captain M.W. Plunkett's Dumbbells. The Dumbbells took their name from the insignia on the uniforms of the 3rd Division, a dumbbell which signified strength and silence. Here are three numbers heard in various Dumbbells reviews.
Georgie White, every night, he used to call and see his little bunch of delight. But Susie stuttered, so much is true, it took her half an hour to murmur, I love you. When the clock was striking nine, he'd give her a parting kiss. But he'd never get away till the break of day, and the reason was simply this. Every time he tried to say goodnight, she'd say, kiss me again. Every time he made for the door, she'd say, kiss me some more. There he'd stand, hat in hand, trying to escape in vain. But every time he tried to say goodnight, she'd say, Georgie, turn out that light, and come back and cuddle me tight, and kiss me again. They got wed, and it said they were very happy after 12 months had fled. A little stranger came into town. They took it to be christened by old Parson Brown. When they asked her baby's name, she answered with a smile serene. It's woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. Well, before she was through, why, the baby had turned 16. Every time he tried to say goodnight, she'd say, kiss me again. Every time he made for the door, she'd say, kiss me some more. There he'd stand, hat in hand, trying to escape in vain. But every time he'd say goodnight, my pet, she'd say, Georgie, please don't go yet, 'cause these are the only cuddles I get. So he kissed her again. Every time he tried to say goodnight, he'd say, kiss me again. Every time he made for the door, she'd say, kiss me some more. There he'd stand, hat in hand, trying to escape in vain. But every time he'd only get so far, she'd say, Georgie, you stay right where you are. Well, then he found out he had missed his last car, so he kissed her again.
Thank you. gone, dear pal of mine. Now you wander far away, and in dreams I hear you say, love, I'll be returning. For that love that once was mine, love so pure and so divine, forever I will yearn. Come back, old pal of mine. Come back to me. I seem to hear your dear voice. Let's find the road that leads back to yesterday. Come back, old pal of mine. Oh, hear my tender plea. I've waited come back, won't you come back to me?
an emblem of peace and liberty. It's Canada, the land you hear so little of. Old Canada, the home sweet home of peace and love. Though I've been a lot of places, I really must confess that Canada can beat them all, or I will miss my guest. The mothers, too, of Canada are just as good as the mammies that they have in Tennessee. If you don't like the winter, you can wait for the spring. If you don't like the summer, well, you'll never like a thing. So here's to Canada, the land for me. I've roamed around the world and been in every clime, but I simply can't forget the land that is sublime. And in this land of plenty, we should not criticize. So let us sing a song about the land we love and prize. It's Canada, the land you hear so little of. Old Canada, the home sweet home of peace and love. Though I've been a lot of places, I really must confess that Canada can beat them all, or I will miss my guest. The mothers, too, of Canada are just as good as the mammies that they have in Tennessee. If you don't like the winter, you can wait for the spring. If you don't like the summer, well, you never like a thing. So here's to Canada, the land for me. It's Canada, the land you hear so little of. Old Canada, the home sweet home of peace and love. Though I've been a lot of places, I really must confess that Canada can beat them all. Or I will miss my guest. The mothers, too, of Canada are just as good as the mammies that they have in Tennessee. If you don't like the winter, you can wait for the spring. If you don't like the summer, well, you'll never like a thing. So here's to Canada, the land for me.
Mert Plunkett's brother Albert was sometimes credited as Al, with a period, Plunkett, as on that recording of It's Canada, the Land for Me, written by Canadian composer Al Harvey, born in 1894. That's from Canadian HMV 78, number 216432-B, made in 1923. Before that, as heard in the Dumbbells 1922 production Carry On, was the waltz ballad Come Back, Old Pal, written by Merton Plunkett. That's from Apex 78, number 639-B. And we started that dumbbell set with HMV 216363, crediting Albert Plunkett with Kiss Me Again, from the Dumbbells Review of 1922. I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. As a public service, it's time for another Rapidly Rotating Records vocabulary lesson. Tonight's lesson centers not on a word, but a figure of speech, and that is synecdoche. No, not Schenectady, New York, but synecdoche. S-Y-N-E-C-D-O-C-H-E. Synecdoche is a figure of speech in which a word or phrase with a literal meaning that refers to a part of something is used figuratively to represent the entirety of that thing. Synecdoche can also be used in reverse, such as using a word that actually represents the whole of something to refer to only a part of it. For example, the word bread can be used to represent food, as in, I'm looking forward to breaking bread with you. Other examples are the word boots, referring to soldiers, bubbly, referring to champagne, and wheels, referring to a vehicle. And here are three musical examples.
Thank you. latest news has struck me funny. Said you have no friends if you haven't got money, and all of us good folks in distress. But I'm gonna get something off of my chest. 1932 won't be long, and when you place your vote, please don't vote wrong. Vote away those blues, the breadline blues. Rich man's job to make some rules in order to rid my breadline blues. Now listen here, folks, and it ain't no joke. We've got to do something or we all gonna croak. We can't get a job, we've all been robbed. We've got no money and the corn's all cob. We've nothing but blues, the breadline blues. If we had state rights, I'll leave it to you. We could all have fun and better homebrew. Says a long-eared mule standing over his box to the big-mouthed elephant, you drink like an ox. You had 12 years, proved nothing but a curse. Instead of making it better, it's getting worse and worse. Says a long-eared mule, I ain't no fool. The elephant said, you long-eared mule, will you shut your mouth? Never been to school. The mule said, elephant, it ain't no joke. We've got to do something or we all gonna croak. We ain't got nothing but a carload of tax, and the doggone load's just breaking our backs. We've got the blues, the breadline blues. Latest news has struck me funny. Says you have no friends if you haven't got money, and all of us good folks in distress. But I'm gonna get something off of my chest. 1932 won't be long, and when you place your vote, please don't vote wrong. Vote away those blues, the breadline blues.
You've heard Kitten on the Keys many times before on the show by its composer Zez Confrey, but never by the piano duo of Frank Banta and Jack Austin. That's from Columbia Graphinola A3687, made July 29, 1922. Jack Austin was also a composer, and I'll be working on a full segment for him. Before that, Bernard Slim Smith with his composition, Breadline Blues, written while he was living in New York, observing a breadline from his hotel window. And I'll be working on a segment for Slim Smith as well. Which reminds me, why is it that everyone nicknamed Slim is, but everyone nicknamed Tiny is anything but? We started that synecdoche set with Michael Flanagan, who was tickling the strings on Columbia 33373-F, I believe from around August of 1929. That's the first time for Michael Flanagan on the show, but I hope not the last. And the next time you do hear him, you may also get his siblings, Joseph and Johnny, at the same time as the Flanagan brothers. Another figure of speech related to synecdoche is metonymy, M-E-T-O-N-Y-M-Y. Metonymy is the use of a linked term to stand in for an object or concept. Examples include the word suits to represent business people, as in the suits upstairs will be making all the decisions, and the word heart to refer to love or emotion, as in you gave me your heart. Notice that while synecdoche takes an element of an object and uses it to refer to the whole, metonymy replaces an object or concept entirely with a related term, as in these examples.
You could be my regular diet, 'cause I think you're simply delish. You're my spicing, sugar icing. You're my favorite dish. Come on with the dish, bring it on. Oh, mercy, it's sizzling.
Thank you. people boast and consistently drink a toast to a place that a lot of them place at the top of the list. Are they wrong? Be they right? Is there reason for their delight? I must live in doubt till the day that I find out, is it true what they say about Dixie? Does the sun really shine all the time? Do the sweet magnolias blossom at everybody's door? Do folks keep eating possum till they can't eat no more? Is it true what they say about the Swanee? Is a dream by that stream so divine? Do they laugh? Do they love? Like they say in every song, if it's true, that's where I belong. Do they drink mint juleps every afternoon? Do they run around shouting, how am I doing? Do they beat their feet in the Mississippi mud? Are they happy as a cow, chewing on the cud? Do they like picking cotton, or is it a bore? Do they all have cabins on that Swanee shore? Do they all love their mammy in a good old suit? Does everybody holler, well, hush my mouth! About Dixie, if it's true, that's where I belong.
Rudy Valley and his Connecticut Yankees asking the musical question, is it true what they say about Dixie? Gerald Marks wrote the music and Irving Caesar and Sammy Lerner the lyrics. That was recorded in Victor's New York Studio 2 on February 24, 1936, issued as catalog number 25313. Before that, last played in November of 2000, Duke Ellington and his orchestra as the Harlem Footwarmers with Big House Blues. That recording was made October 14, 1930, and issued on four different labels, bound for six different countries. We heard the Parlophone release number R1044. We started that metonymous segment with Fats Waller declaring, "You're My Dish," on Victor 25679 from September 7, 1937. "You're My Dish" was composed by Jimmy McHugh with lyrics by Harold Adamson for the Universal picture Merry-Go-Round of 1938, starring Burt Lahr and Jimmy Savo. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on Island Radio, FM 88.7 KISL Avalon, and KISLAvalon.com. This and all our previous shows are also available 24/7, on demand, anytime at all, online, at RapidlyRotatingRecords.com. And we're on all the major podcast directories, including Apple Music. This next segment should have been included in last week's show, since the 89th Masters Golf Tournament wrapped up at Augusta National on April 13th. But that gives you an idea of how much interest I have in golf. I have played miniature golf, and here to sing about that form of the game are Saunders and White.
The butchers, the bakers, and even undertakers are all playing miniature golf. You'll find a course on every vacant lot in town, and now they're getting busy tearing buildings down. The doctors, the preachers, the pupils, and the teachers, it seems that the world has gone crazy. The fellows meet their sweeties now on corner links. They're closing up speakeasies cause nobody drinks.
And you should see the dirty dishes in the sinks, since they're all playing miniature golf.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Hello, Walter.
Why, you sound gloomy. What's the trouble?
Oh, just the wife. I'm afraid she's going cuckoo.
Gosh, I'm sorry. Say, I know something that might help. Why don't you let her play some of that miniature golf?
Oh, that's her trouble. That's all she does and all she talks about.
Oh, I see.
For breakfast, it's, you should have seen the ball roll right through the log and land 2 inches from the cup.
Yes, and you're dying for a cup of coffee.
You said it. Tonight, no dinner, because many gluts made a hole in one.
Oh, what difference did that make?
My wife had to do the same thing, only it took her 10 extra trips around the place to do it.
Gosh, that is serious.
I'll say it is at 35 cents a trip. Believe me, Walter, since this epidemic's hit the nation, it's made the whole country sick.
Yes, it's spreading through the population, and you catch it darn quick.
If your wife says, meet me on the corner, you know, where the gas house used to be, you can bet your life that she's a goner, and you'll regret it just like me.
Ah, but Bill, the bankers, the beggars, reformers, and bootleggers are all playing miniature golf.
They talk of unemployment and the times are hard. Still, everybody has one in his own backyard.
Sure, the tough eggs, the killers, the gangsters and gorillas, it seems that the world has turned pansy. You know, we've got to look this matter squarely in the face.
That's right.
With babies swinging putters all around the place.
Yes, America will be bringing up a humpback race
if we keep playing miniature golf. It's got missionaries and private secretaries. They're all playing miniature golf.
Why, the brokers down in Wall Street think the game's a wow. They're even quoting golf scores on the tickers now.
Yes, they're growing erratic in circles diplomatic. Bill, it's even invaded the White House.
No.
Yes, the Senate needed Hoover, so they sent her around to that little corner where he's always found.
I'll bet he said, please let me play just one more round. Oh, they're all playing miniature golf.
Well, folks, I've just had a wonderful day. I've been out playing golf. The great game, golf, enables a man to chase a ball when he's too old to chase anything else. I went out with Bobby Jones, the national champion. Him and me went around the 18 holes, and I shot a 68. That's just counting putts. I would have shot a 67, but one of the holes wasn't stationary. I got the fright of my life, though. I very nearly killed Jones. He happened to get right in the line of my drive. That's about 20 feet to my left and slightly to my rear. The ball almost hit him in the head and I was scared stiff. It was the only ball I had. But there was one shot I made, if you can excuse me for talking about myself, that Jones said was really phenomenal golf. There's one hole on this course. It's a little over 150 yards long. A little over 150 yards long. Did you ever meet one of those fellows that talk that way? He say, jaw, and fearful, and extraordinary. You can't tell half the time whether they're annoyed or adenoid. They generally wear a monocle. A single eyeglass. You know the idea of wearing a single eyeglass. That's so the fellow won't see any more at one time than he can understand. Sort of remind you of these rubber-tired specs. They're supposed to be equivalent to 4 years at college. You spend 4 years at college and then go to night school to be educated. But I started to tell you about this golf game with Bobby Jones. There's a hole on this course that's a little over 150 yards long, but it's considered a very, very difficult par three, a very difficult par three, and with a bar at mashy. My bar is a mashy, see? And I made the hole in better than one, actually made it in better than one. I missed the ball and sunk the divot. My golf wasn't always that good. There was a time when I couldn't keep in the middle of the fairway on horseback. Honestly, folks, I've gotten so now I never go out, I don't break 70. And that's really more clubs than the average guy carries. Of course, that shows you just how well I play golf. I'd rather admit it because honesty is the best policy whether you're on the stage or whatever you're engaged in. And I saw that old saying perfectly illustrated this morning. I got on a streetcar, entirely unassisted, and a lady got on right after me. I don't think that was the reason. I think she wanted to go somewhere. I wish you could have seen her. You know, a woman has a right to be as homely as she wants to, but this woman abused the privilege. She was the thinnest woman I ever saw, wouldn't weigh 90 pounds with a rock in her hand, and had a very high instep on her nose. But she must have been a very good-looking woman at one time, because I overheard her tell a fellow that she met on the car that a horse ran away with her a number of years ago. To show you that honesty is the best policy, when this lady paid her fare, she gave the conductor a half dollar, and in making change for the half dollar, the conductor by mistake gave this woman a quarter and six nickels, and this mean woman, instead of returning the extra nickel to this poor conductor, Of course, you know, those conductors have to work on a very small percentage. Instead of giving him back the extra nickel, this mean woman put the quarter and the five nickels in her purse and even got off the car a block ahead of her destination for fear the conductor might discover his error. And when she got off, I told the conductor, I said, did you notice you gave that woman an extra nickel? And he says, yeah, but she'll have an awful time getting rid of the quarter.
He was a stylish, handsome chap, had the world right in his lap. His manners and his smile were simply charming. His clothes were always neat, quite successful in the street. His life was so complete, 'twas quite alarming. And then he took up golf. Now he wanders round at night, only waiting till it's light, so he can take his clubs and start to play. It costs him plenty every time. When he wins, it's just a dime. His bankroll's getting slimmer every day. He wears socks of baby blue, ties and shirts of every hue. His color scheme would make a bluebird scoff. Some good friend should take a rifle, for he is an awful eyeful ever since he took up golf. And married men play golf, too. He was a wonderful family man, doing all the husband can to keep his wife and children awfully happy. He lived for them alone and never left his own hearthstone, just an all-American pappy. And then he took up golf. Now at night his family wait, cook is sore, the dinner's late, and often now he doesn't come at all. There is sulfur in the air, he's as cheerful as a bear, as they hear him kick a hat rack in the hall. There's a wild look in his eyes, as he curses, groans, or sighs, and throws a plate at Jenny, Bill, or Rolf. In his sleep he pans his caddy, oh, he's quite a different daddy ever since he took up golf. Now when shadows start to creep, he comes home and wants to sleep. His family hardly see him anymore. His face is awfully dour and his manner very sour. He keeps mumbling and grumbling about his score. His kids say now and then, Mama, here's that man again. We knew him when he took his sweater off. There are brambles in his hair and the sand is everywhere ever since he took up golf.
Frank Crummett, describing just what happens when you take up golf. He recorded And Then He Took Up Golf with a seven-piece band on February 11, 1930, but gave up after three unsuccessful takes. He came back on the 19th with just a guitar, piano, and traps, and got it right on take five, issued on Victor 22323. Crummett wrote the music and Grantland Rice the lyrics. Henry Grantland Rice, better known as Granny, was an American sports writer, famous for his elegant prose, published in newspapers around the country and heard on radio. He wrote many more poems, published in a 1917 book titled Songs of the Stalwart, but I don't know how many others, if any, were set to music. Before Frank Crummett, we heard Julius Tannen, born the same year as Grantland Rice, 1880, with his comic monologue, The Human Chatterbox Plays Golf, from Victor 21115, recorded November 29, 1927. Julius Tannen was an American monologist famous for his vaudeville act of witty improvisations and creative word games. He also had a successful acting career on Broadway and in more than 50 films over 25 years. We teed off that set with Saunders and White, and Since They Are All Playing Miniature Golf, from Cameo 418, recorded August 25, 1930. You probably recognized Saunders and White as Billy Murray and Walter Scanlon, credited as such on the Conqueror release, number 7619. Since They Are All Playing Miniature Golf was written by Eddie Cantor, Ballard MacDonald, and Dave Dreyer. Yesterday, April 20th, marked the birth in 1878 in New York City of Nathan Osnowitz to Jacob Osnowitz and Frances Neuforder, both of whom had emigrated to the U.S. from Austria. If the name Nathan Osnowitz doesn't ring a bell, you may know him better as pianist and composer Nat Osborne. He originally studied medicine at City College of New York and Bellevue Medical College, but gave up becoming a doctor in favor of a career in music. He trained in composition and musical theory and became a concert pianist, but turned to theatrical and popular music. On December 27, 1908, when he was 29, Nat married Marie Billowitz, and the couple had son Raymond and daughter Pearl. Nathan Osnowitz changed his name to Nat Osborne sometime between 1908 and 1910, listed in that year's census as an electrical contractor. His 1917 draft registration card shows his occupation as composer and place of employment as the Columbia Theater Building in New York City. Osborne was a charter member of ASCAP in 1914, and in 1918 he wrote the music for a military show titled Attaboy. The book and lyrics were written by Ballard MacDonald, who at the time was an Army lieutenant, serving at Camp Meigs in Washington, D.C., a training camp for special units of the Quartermaster Corps. Osborne was heard regularly on radio in the mid-1920s with his trio and as a solo pianist, including on WGCP in New York. Nat Osborne died in the Hackensack, New Jersey hospital on March 13, 1954, and is buried at Washington Cemetery in Brooklyn. He had his first birthday segment a couple of years ago, but here are three more from the pen of Nat Osborne.
I'm sitting here in my lonely cell with nothing but walls and steel bars around me, thinking of my mother's dreams of me, the hopes that she had that I'd win fortune and honor and fame. But all these hopes that she loved so well, why, I know they'll never be, because I'll never be able to live down my shame. When they changed my name to a number, all my happy days were through. In these walls of gray, I had to pay for a crime I didn't do. Now today they say I'll be pardoned, but too late these gates will part. When they changed my name to a number, they broke my mother's heart. I had to pay for a crime I didn't do. Now today they say I'll be pardoned, but too late these gates will part. When they changed my name to a number, it broke my mother's heart.
went through life in a daydream. Then when you happened along, I looked in your eyes, believed in your lies, and found out too soon I was wrong. For you wanted someone to play with, while I wanted someone to love. Then you made me feel that your love was real, the love that I've always dreamed of. You left when I cried for your kisses. To me they meant heaven above. For you wanted someone to play with, while I wanted someone to love. For your kisses, to me they meant heaven above. For you wanted someone to play with, while I wanted someone to.
Long way back to my mother's knee, but I wish.
The master of the concert ballad, Harvey Wilson Hindermeyer, with That's the Song of Songs for Me. Joe Goodwin was the lyricist. They made three takes on July 28, 1915, and three more on August 2nd, before finally getting it right on take 8, August 31st, issued on Victor 17857-B. Before that, Johnny Marvin singing You Wanted Someone to Play With, I Wanted Someone to Love, written by Osborne, George B. McConnell, Margie Morris, and Frank Capano. Take 3 from New Year's Eve 1928 in Liederkranz Hall was issued on Victor 21839. We started off with the whispering pianist Art Gillum, When They Changed My Name to a Number. Alex Hill accompanied Art on the piano with takes 1 and 3 from October 7, 1930, issued on Columbia 2331-D. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.